This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing today? Happy hump day, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, we got a packed show for y'all, but I'm going to start with a couple of teasers for tomorrow's show here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Tom Paulsiewicz is going to join me, as he does every Thursday, as a special co-host for the first hour of the show. We are going to dig into the blockbuster New York Times interview with John Kelly that came on the heels of the Atlantic reporting about greater specificity about Donald Trump's great big bear hug of Adolf Hitler and Nazism. The revelations are shocking. They're disqualifying. We've got some of the interview sound from that John Kelly New York Times interview. I'm going to dig into that tomorrow. I want a day to really gather my thoughts. I thought Tom would bring an additional added depth to the conversation. Of course, we're going to ask to hear from you. But this is so important, including the reporting about Donald Trump's comments about a military funeral for someone who happened to be of Latino descent. It is all shocking. It is all disqualifying. We're going to break that down with Tom Paulsiewicz. We also have an incredibly special guest tomorrow for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We do every day, but you're not going to want to miss tomorrow. This guy's name is David Serrata. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of The Lever, which is a publication that focuses on corporate corruption. He helped Bernie Sanders' campaign in 2020. But you may recognize him best because he was an Academy Award nominee for his screenplay that he wrote called Don't Look Up. You remember this one with Leonardo DiCaprio? It was a big Netflix movie a couple years back. Yeah, he wrote the screenplay for that. David Serrata is going to join us for Maggie and the Millionaires tomorrow. We're going to talk more about corporate corruption. I cannot wait for that discussion. But today we got a stacked lineup. Really excited at 2:30 for today's episode of Sounds Like Change with Emily's List. I'm going to be joined by Yari Aquino. She's the director of communications for Emily's List. And we're going to talk about some key state elections. Now, put a footnote on that one because I'm going to come back to that in just a second. At 3 p.m., we've got somebody else whose name may ring a bell for you for Maggie and the Millionaires. Her name's Abigail Disney. And yeah, I mean that Disney. She has come out with a documentary about inequality. She's an Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker, so you're not going to want to miss this discussion with Abigail Disney about inequality in this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires. And again, you can hear all about her new documentary film about that wealth inequality. Finally, at 3:30 today, I'm going to be joined by Mini Timuraju. She's president of the Reproductive Freedom for All organization. We're going to talk about the Get Out the Vote efforts all across the state of Wisconsin. And to kick it off today, coming on the heels of talking about protecting your voting rights yesterday and Make Your Vote Count 2024 with my very special friend, Dan Schaefer, the political editor here at Civic Media. Dan and I are going to go through some of the critical elections in state legislative districts, both on the legislative and the state Senate side, the ones that hang in the balance that you're going to want to know about. What a better way to kick it off? It's all about your vote and making it count and being informed and ready to cast your ballot before and or on, well, I should say before or on November 5th. But you guys know that I have a special place in my heart for Judge Aileen Cannon. And I would be completely remiss if I did not begin today by reflecting on the recent reporting confirmed apparently through, I believe it was ABC, that Aileen Cannon has been revealed to be on Trump's shortlist for attorney general. Anybody really surprised by this? Of course he'd pick the judge that's in the bag for him. And it's been confirmed that her name was added to that shortlist after she dismissed the super secret spy documents criminal case against the former MAGA president. There are some other really scary names on this list, including Jeffrey Clark, Mike Davis, who's posted tons of stuff, I'm going to call it crap, on social media about promoting plans to target Donald Trump's political rivals if he wins again, talking about imprisoning members of the media in gulags and putting migrant children back in cages. There's a whole bunch of other scary folks on that list. How pathetic. It would be nice if we could at least hope that Donald Trump would, appoint competent people. But he tried that and used them all up in his first administration. So again, we're going to have to go to the JV team if he wins again. It's one of the things that scares me most, in addition to, of course, his Supreme Court and other federal judge appointments that he could make in a second term. But that's at the top of the ticket. Today, I want to focus, first of all, on these state assembly and Senate districts, because they're so important. We finally have new maps, Wisconsin. They're fairer. So let's dig in right away. Dan Schaefer, political editor, author of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Let's dig in, shall we?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this discussion. We may do it again if we can't get in all these critical races, because there's a goodly number of these, again, across the state in almost every region of the state, no matter where you live, northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, there are some key swing elections. But let's start a little close to home. You mentioned District 61, that race to me. This is on the assembly side. This is Lou Ann Bird versus Bob Donovan, who had spent the majority of his political career as one of the lone conservative-leaning members of Milwaukee's Common Council, and not without some controversy over the course of Bob's career. Tell us about this race, Dan.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the most closely competitive races on the whole map in the Wisconsin State Assembly. You know, for the, like you mentioned, we have new fairer maps, and there is an opportunity for either party to win the majority. And, you know, this is actually a rematch of a race that we saw 2 years ago. And this, you know, we had far fewer competitive races 2 years ago, but this was one of the most, one of the closest ones on the map 2 years ago. Bob Donovan won by just about right around 500 votes. So a really, really close race. And I got to know Lou Ann Bird a little bit last election cycle in 2022. I wrote a in-depth feature story on her campaign. She was running this really remarkable and unconventional campaign for the assembly. The story is called Bird on a Wire. It did win a Milwaukee Press Club Award. So do check that one out if you want to learn more about Lou Ann Bird and her campaign. Prior to running for assembly, she was the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. She served on school boards in Oshkosh. And later at the Whitnall School Board in the area where she is now. She's also a longtime advocate for people with disabilities, as her husband, who is a Vietnam War veteran, was paralyzed in a construction accident in 1990. So she has done a whole lot of work to make places accessible that weren't beforehand. And like you said, she is running against one of the most well-known, you know, down-ballot individuals in the Milwaukee area, Bob Donovan, who was a staple of conservative talk radio for the 20 years that he served on the Milwaukee Common Council. He now represents the district that includes cities like Greendale, Hales Corners, and parts of Greenfield. He's been on the move in recent years, though. So he ran for mayor of Milwaukee in 2022 and then moved, I guess, to Greenfield to run for this assembly seat. He was actually drawn into a different district, so he moved again to remain in this competitive part of the area, and actually even announced launched his 2024 campaign at a bar outside of the district. So Bob's been on the move in the southwest Milwaukee County area, and it's going to be really interesting because this is a real opportunity for Democrats to flip a seat. I know, and this is, you know, part of the trend in the Milwaukee area suburbs where, you know, under the previously gerrymandered maps, we saw candidates in the Milwaukee area suburbs were the only ones able to flip seats from red to blue. We saw that with Robin Vining, Sarah Rodriguez, Devin Draca. Right. And now here's an opportunity with Lou Anne Bird to do the same.
Yeah, Bob, on the move, literally and figuratively. I hate moving. I can't imagine doing it twice and in almost as many years to stay in a legislative district. What I also find fascinating about this is not just that we've got these fairer maps that's making this district even more competitive. It's the fact that both Lou Anne and Bob, I think from an objective standpoint, have real bona fides when it comes to their commitment to the community over the course of their careers. So both of these people, again, very well known, Bob probably a little bit more than Lou Anne, but she's got the upside of that prior race. But again, incredible public servants, each in their own way and from their own ideological place on the spectrum, of course. So a real nail biter in District 61. Again, that's Lou Anne Bird versus Bob Donovan. But let's move a little west, Dan. Next up, we've got District 51. This is Elizabeth Groby versus Todd Novak. This is Western Dane County and sort of the southwestern area of Wisconsin. Tell us more about this race, Dan.
Yeah, so under previous maps, Todd Novak was targeted cycle after cycle, the Republican incumbent there. He was first elected in 2014 and in his fifth term, and he won three of those elections to be reelected by less than 1,000 votes. So over and over again, it seems like Novak seems to defy the odds. But now this is a little bit bluer of a seat. Now this includes this southwestern Wisconsin district. This now includes parts of Dane County. And so we know that Dane County has really been running up the numbers for Democrats in recent election cycles. And so I do think there is a real opportunity for the Democrat to flip this race. And it's going to be extremely close. But we'll see what type of impact some of those Dane County voters will have on a swing district here.
Folks, we got one race in District 61 with margins of less than 500. We got one in District 51, margins less than 1,000. Two nail biters. We got five more to go. Don't go anywhere. More with Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media, on these really close state assembly and Senate elections up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round.
You always want to stick around for the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because we always have packed shows for you today, no exception. Going to be joined by Emily's List, Senior VP of Communications and Content, Christina Reynolds at the bottom of the hour, talking about Trump's weird, creepy, ew-inducing women's town hall conversation that broadcasts today on Fox. We got Jeff Clemens coming up on Maggie and the Millionaires, top of the hour today. He's the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics. Cannot wait for all that. But this segment, I'm talking to you about the fact that Donald Trump and Republicans will always tell you, because they have no candidate can win if they say, well, I really don't care about the middle class. And my entire purpose here is to effectively help my billionaire and 100 millionaire friends hoard wealth and extract labor from the middle class. Like, no one's, let's just start there. No candidate is ever going to say that, okay? It's like no candidate ever runs, well, I'm soft on crime. No one says that because if you said it that way, you don't get elected. So if we understand that whatever the economic policy plans or the tax proposals are, the candidate always has to sell it as better for the middle class. And if that's true, you know, the differences between, say, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris's tax proposals, let's just take those for example, could not be any more different. Kamala Harris proposes raising income taxes on households with incomes of $400,000 or more. She proposes raising taxes even more for the wealthiest 1% of Americans. Donald Trump wants to cut taxes for those people. Now, he throws in what he calls a tax cut for the middle class, but which functionally isn't when you take all of his economic proposals together as a whole. Just go look up the Institute for Tax and Economic ITEP, the Institute for Tax and Economic Policy, which is a nonpartisan organization, ITEP.org. Go check out their analysis. So they both can't be true, right? You can't have these totally different policy proposals and everybody says, yes, it's good for the middle class. Like, one has to be true and one has to be less true, or arguably a big fat lie. That's what we talk about nearly every day on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money at 3 p.m. But you can look at the performance of red versus blue states and the data, and I don't care which data point you pick. People, the middle class and working people in states historically dominated by Republicans and Republican economic and tax policy do much, much worse on both a wellness, income, and wealth basis. They have lower literacy rates. They have higher homicide rates. They have higher infant and maternal mortality rates. They have higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases. Whatever it is. Like, they had more people die of COVID. But the question is, okay, so empirically we can look at this and blue states do better than red states on nearly every metric. What's going on here? Why would that be the case? If the policies that Republicans put in place in their states and that Republican national candidates run on are so good for the middle class, what's really going on? Well, fundamentally, when you look at Republican economic plans, they are always focused around ensuring that labor is cheap. And what does that mean? It means that wages are comparatively controlled and lower relative to what wages would be under Democratic governors and legislatures and presidents. Because when you artificially suppress wages, your profit margin gets larger, especially if you're running monopolies or near monopolies and price fixing and price gouging and pandemic profiteering. But the whole core of this is the idea that I should pay someone the absolute minimum, the lowest dollar that I can possibly pay them. And I should prevent them from organizing so that I can keep their wages low. That is the core of Republican economic policies. Everything else is secondary to that. Now, how do you effectively pull one over on working people if you're artificially suppressing their wages, right? And not paying people what they're worth and keeping their benefits low. How do you pull that fast one on the citizens of red states and Americans who continue to vote for Republican economic policies? Will you attack education at every level? You keep people fearful of education. You keep public schools under attack. You keep universities under attack. You try to defund public schools by making vouchers universally acceptable. And if that fails, the third brick in the Republican approach to the middle class is when I suppress your wage and keep you working 2-3 jobs just to get by, and I strip your educational systems of the funding they need to ensure that even the poorest among us have access to the best education available in this country, the third thing you do is that, of course, you attack the integrity of any institution, of any individual, of any opposition, of anyone who speaks or dares to criticize and point out the utter fallacy, the failing nature of your economic and tax proposals. So let me summarize. You keep people working their butts off for wages lower than they should be, and you keep people from getting the education that they deserve, and then you make them distrust anyone who dares question that system, all the while exploiting their economic pain, the pain in their families, their inability to pay for housing and childcare and medication and healthcare, and you blame the other side for it the entire time. Three easy steps. We come back, we're going to be joined by Christina Reynolds, Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We're going to talk about the crazy women's town hall that Donald Trump had today. Yikes! That's all coming up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.